Now, I want to continue with these quotations because they really, I share, and it's an opinion, see, but I share their quotes, and then it's like any thesis paper. You have to have your knowing your source. So picking up with Norman Brown, he said, adult sexuality is restricted by rules to maintain family and society. In other words, a top-down system. Remember, Marxism gets rid of it. Freud gets rid of it. But dialectic wants to get rid of this top-down didactic patriarch says we are accountable. Now, Jesus said, call no man father on earth, for you have only one father. He's in heaven. See, but he doesn't get rid of the patriarch. He just says, earthly fathers chasten us for their pleasure. In other words, they're still bound to approach pleasure, avoid pain, human nature. He says, is a clear instance of repression and therefore leads to neurosis. And that's all. Psychology sees every child, your child who obeys you, Jesus who obeys his father, you who obey him, as neurotic. Can't do anything else but. And if they say, oh, I don't go that far, they're lying. Yeah, it's not how far down the path you've gone. It's a path you're on. You know, one step into the pig pen, you're in it. It doesn't matter if you're halfway through on the other side. You stink. Then he continues. He says, the repression of normal adult sexuality is required only by cultures which are based on a patriarchal domination. That's in your face, see? In man, infantile sexuality is repressed and never outgrown. Our repressed desires are the desires we had unrepressed in childhood, and they are sexual desires. Therefore, the question confronting mankind is the abolition of repression. And then this here is the pervert mind speaking. In traditional Christian language, the resurrection of the body. See, they don't see the resurrection of the body as a work of God. They see the resurrection of the body as a work of man, delivering him from the Father's authority. Back to the flesh. Redeeming him back to lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's all you've got in psychology. That's all you got in sociology. Because you're measuring man with man. And if you measure man with man and justify man or human nature, all you have is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Period. Not of the Father. Freud takes with absolute seriousness, Brown writes, the proposition of Jesus, quote, now here's another, this shows you how they twist the word, I mean pervert it, except you become as little children, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. These are sick men. That psychiatrists, and they're over our police, they're over our military, they're everywhere you go. Human resource department is built on this. These are wicked, depraved people. They don't know it. Some of them don't. I have a friend who's a, I don't want to mention his profession, but he's let's just say he's in a position of great influence in the community. I won't even mention a state. But this week he went to Human Resources because Human Resources was passing law. They were making law for the county, usurping their jurisdiction. And so he went. And he had the authority to go and tell them what you're doing is wrong. And the human resource person got in his face and said, we can do whatever we want. This is the United States of America. This is where we are today. We can do whatever we want. Because they have, you know, Hitler was told, you can't win. He said, I already have. I got your children. And so human resource, human resource is simply, resource is stuff you manipulate. Dig iron out of the ground and you heat it up and put a little carbon in it, you make steel, you manipulate it. But if iron is not manipulatable, if you can't change it, it stays in its original form, it's worthless. So human resources, if you go into the workplace or you go into the military, you go to the police or whatever profession you go in, you have a department of human resource and you refuse to manipulate, you say, my father says, you're worthless. See? And so that same system, this is an evil diabolical system. I call all it is secularized Satanism, intellectualized witchcraft. Psychoanalysis, Brown writes, declares the fundamental bisexual character of human nature. You go to church today, by the way, and you open up the Bible and you say, well, here's, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and your message over there, somebody reads it, as above, so below, which is Satan's verse. That's a holy verse for the Satanist Bible. You say, well, that's wrong and mine's right, then the minister and others will say, well, Rick Warren and the guy who wrote the message, he knows more about the scriptures than you do. He knows Greek and you don't. Let me tell you something. There's a heresy source of Greek. There's heresy Greek, Even John, when he was writing his letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the Gnostics were taking it and rewriting it. And today those manuscripts are foundation. They've become the scripture, the Greek source for the translation of the Bible. So you better be careful about the source of the translation. Translation is a translation. Somebody just changed it from Greek to English. Beware of the source. And I write about that as well in one of my articles. So you get a taste here of the attitude of those who praxis dialectic thinking. Now, they have to define the traditional home. Theodore Adorno, in his book, The Authoritarian Personality, which, by the way, all teachers are certified on Bloom's taxonomy, and Bloom refers to Adorno's way of thinking as the worldview. This is their outcome. You practice Bloom's curriculum in the classroom, you're going to produce Marxists. You're going to produce communists. And that's what we've had. People think, well, communism, are those guys with the guns over there? No, those are traditional. These are transformational. They use psychology. See, Satan didn't just shoot Adam and Eve in the garden because they believed in God. He said, well, let's have a little counseling session. Let me ask you how you feel. Well, I'll be able to touch it. What do you think? Well, there's nothing wrong with that tree. See, that's all. There's nothing wrong with me doing what I want to do. It's just human nature. Why is my dad so upset? You know, I can think for myself. But see, the charlatan wants to separate the farmer's daughter from the farmer, get her to share her oddities, and before long he's taking her off and using her for his own good pleasure. And then when he gets done with her, he just dump her and go on. Dad won't. Dad loves that child. These guys don't love. They love the pleasure they get from delivering you from the father and the pleasure they get from that. It's pedophilia. I call psychiatrists pedophiles. You can get upset with me, but no, they're just playing with children. The moment you get a child in there and go, how do you feel, what do you think, you're delivering that child from the father so you can have dopamine, a sensuous moment of oneness with that child. This is no different. Because Freud said it doesn't have to be genitalia, that it doesn't have to be a procreation act. And so they're fulfilling Sigmund Freud. They're living and breathing his spirit of abomination. Well, Adorno writes, an attitude of complete submissiveness toward, quote, supernatural forces, any readiness to accept the essential incomprehensibility of, quote, many important things, in other words, dad's earnest, do this, don't do that, set and rules strongly suggest, Adorno writes, the persistence in the individual of infantile attitudes towards the parent. Now, he's using infantile in the sense that you, if you obey God, you know, what your Heavenly Father tells you to do, that's what you do. You're an infantile. You know, that's a lower order of thinking. You're not thinking for yourself. Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, Dad said it. Well, can't you think for yourself? No. Yeah, I have thought for myself, and I see self as full of wickedness, and my dad's righteous, and so I'm doing his will instead of my will. I'm being like you, see. That is to say, he says, of authoritarian submission in a very, very pure form. He continues, authoritarian submission was conceived of as a very general attitude that would be evoked in relation to a variety of authority figures. Now you listen, parents, older people, leaders, supernatural power, and so forth. Now realize, he's writing this to destroy that. His only intent is to destroy parents and older people. Wow. You go into nursing homes today, you better be a little concerned. And leaders, see, people top down, supernatural powers. In fact, anybody who holds to a top-down system is a potential fascist, according to Adorno. This is reading, by the way, for UN. This is foundational for Bloom's taxonomies. Every teacher in your community certified on Bloom's taxonomy, every Christian school even, is accredited on Bloom's taxonomy if they're accredited. It's a merging of Freud and Marx. In fact, on page 6 of the first book, he says this is a psychological classification system, according to the Frankfurt School, the transformational Marxists. Then he paraphrased Karl Marx on page 32. So it's all, and then he refers to the worldview that he's using, Weltanschauung, on page 166 of the second book, and he gives us Theodore Adorno, this Marxist that I'm quoting now. And Adorno writes, it is a well-known hypothesis that susceptibility to fascism is most characteristically a middle-class phenomenon. That is, in the culture, in other words, it's because children obey their parents. See, you're going to obey Hitler if you obey your parents. That's their mindset. These are paranoids. And hence, that those who conform the most to this culture would be the most prejudiced. See, God's prejudiced. On the day of judgment, you're going to find out how prejudiced God is. He's saying, I'm right, you're wrong. That's God's prejudice. And then he writes, and I'm not for prejudice as far as, you know, if it, I tell people it's not a race issue. It's a sin issue. See, we're all sinned. And that's what we have in common, is if you want to find commonality, is we need a Savior. And that's what the Scriptures are all about, is Jesus came to redeem us from the Father's wrath and reconcile us to the Father and have salvation from the judgment that's coming. And share eternity with Him in His glory. What God's always intended. You have a loving Father. God so loved the world. He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a loving Father. But these guys, if you read Leland Bradford and Ronald Lippitt and these, I don't know if I got his name right now, but Human Relations in Curriculum Change, that crowd that helped write that book and did the training lab in Bethel, Maine, what they saw the autocratic, they saw the laissez-faire, that would be the transitional people, and then they saw the dialectic thinkers. These were the enlightened. These were the reasonable people. That's where they want. Well, they saw the autocratic and they go, well, there are autocrats that are very caring and loving of those under their authority. Oh, we'll just lump them together. See, that's how they think. These are real scientists, you know. That's so-called. Paul says, avoid the oppositions of pseudo-nomos-gnosis, so-called science. They're really liars. They're not scientists, because true science would tell you that men were created and women were created the way they were to procreate. But these guys hate procreation. They're like Plato, or, you know, we need to select the right parents. Now, you read this kind of stuff in education material. We need to select the right people to produce the right healthy society and all this. And that's what they are. They're just playing the role of God over man. Then he continues, superstition indicates a tendency to shift responsibility from within the individual onto outside forces beyond one's control. The ego has given up. The I will is supposed to tie to the id, and according to Freud, kill the father. But the children are too weak, so they submit, they become neurotic, and it's these guys' roles to be act as Jesus, to redeem, this is the Antichrist, to redeem man from the father, to rescue them from their neurosis. And so the ego, he says, is given up, renouncing the idea that it might determine the individual's fate by overcoming external forces. Marx just said, shoot them. These guys said, oh, we'll just get you in a groove. And the moment the father allows the children and him to go into dialogue, because, you know, dad says you can't go out, and he goes, why? And dad says, okay, let's talk about it. Let's dialogue. Dialogue, you're equal. The father abdicates his authority when he goes into dialogue. But the dad stops the dialogue saying, because I said so. See? Now, you go into dialogue with yourself, I ought to be able to. Now, that's you. You got your... parent puts a blanket on you and you stuck your toe out from under the blanket. That's your ought. Your avenue of deliverance from your father's authority. But if I get you in a group of kids, as my training as a teacher, and get you to share your oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, now in a collective setting, society is what develops you. In this group think we all have in common, we're all sticking our foot out from underneath that blanket. We find our commonism. And the commonism is kill the dad. See, we overcome the external forces in our life, the top-down system. But then again, you know what's happened is the children are now freed from the father who loves them and would protect them, and now the wolf out there in sheepskin will use them for their own pleasure. And that's what happened. That's what church growth. These all these mega church guys out there, they're rolling in the dough. You know, they're just happy. You know, be like me. You know, lie to everybody else so you can make money too. And I'm not saying people don't come to the Lord in some of these ministries, but if you stay, you're going to die. You know? So, anyway, he continues, a tendency to transmit mainly a set of conventional rules and customs may be considered as interfering with the development of a clear-cut personal identity within the identity in the growing child. Excuse me. Determined by the authoritarian aspects of the parent-child relationship, or by a more democratic type of relationship. He's comparing the two. The ability of the subject to appraise his parents objectively. How can a child appraise his parents? He's only going to praise him through his oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, how he feels, what he thinks. See, that's what Eve did in the garden. The woman, before Satan, the master facilitator, was allowed free to evaluate God's word from her sight. She saw from her feelings and her thinking. As contrasted with an inclination, Adorno continues, to put the parent on a very high plane. An important feature of the Nazi program. These guys are writing now about their agenda, how they are going to change America. These were Marxists who came from Europe in 1933. Adorno went to Berkeley. He was majoring. Many men earned their doctor's degree under Adorno, went into all facets of our society. He writes, an important feature of the Nazi program, it will be recalled, was the defamation of everything that tended to make the individual aware of himself and his problems. Every kind of psychology except aptitude testing came under attack. Well, what they have done is they have made this total that the person must be not evaluating himself, but evaluating the parent. Remember, look at what Adam and Eve did when they were caught by God. Well, it's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. See, it's society's fault. Instead of claiming personal accountability for God. You have to understand, fascism and communism come from the same mother. One just goes national. The other goes global. They both use the same system. They both have to destroy the father's authority. That's what happened. These guys say, well, that came out of the traditional family. No, Hitler had his troops. He bludgeoned the people. It wasn't, yeah, people trusted in government, and you shouldn't. I mean, the Bible says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. In early America, we didn't trust God. You know, if we get a conservative in office, you think the conservatives are going to say, oh, man, we can now relax? No, you better not. You know, and they would say, by the way, if you're looking for a man to rescue from this one person, then you're a fascist. So, you know, who's the ultimate fascist would be the believer who's looking for Jesus to return and judge the world. That's the only way they can look at it. So you know, you're a potential fascist if you aren't. Any minister who separates his congregation from the world, they got to keep a track on that because they lost Hitler. See, they were bringing all the clubs together, and the Democratic Socialist Party was trying to bring all the clubs together and have dialogue. Hitler wouldn't dialogue, and so that they look at in this nation, anybody who's not who's ducking the system, who's not participating in the process, you're suspect. See, because you get a following, then your potential fascist got to nip it in the bud. This is a persecution of the believer. Of course, it's a pattern, it's a paradigm they're looking at. But the real intent, there's a spirit behind it, is really going after the believer in Christ. Now, Warren Bennis, and they keep republishing this guy's works. He died a few years ago. He wrote three books, The Planning of Change, and each book was different, same title. And they just, well, I think it's 2009, they reworked his works. And so you're reading stuff written back in the 40s, and it's used today. You know, this New Age stuff, this New World Order, it's not new. I just say it's Genesis 3, 1 through 6. It's that new. So Warren Bennis writes in his book, The Temporary Society. And this is really in your face. This makes it very clear why what's happening and why they have to do it. He writes, any non-family-based collectivity, in other words, any dialectic organization that comes in, Child Protective Services, that intervenes between parent and child. See, you have a problem in your home. They come in to intervene between you and your children and attempts to regulate and modify the parent-child relationship will have a democratizing impact on that relationship regardless of its intent. So you're going to have somebody coming in, even from the church, who's been through the process, ether of the brain, as Freud would call it. In other words, you can't see anything outside of the social cause. You can no longer see the individual before God and that alone, period. When they come in, to even from the church, to help the parent-child relationship, they will liberalize those children. The moment you ask that child how they feel, what they think, you have declared war on the father, period. But that's a litmus test. So you're doing Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That's all Satan did. Yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden. Hey, you think your father really meant that you couldn't do that? And now the child can think through his feelings, through his otobe. See, that's open-ended. That's Rogerian psychology. Open-ended, non-directive. Open-ended, we can talk about anything. Oh, your ought's going to come out there. Non-directive, I'm not going to tell you what's right or wrong. In other words, we're going to get rid of the debt. There's no father's authority in a non-family-based collectivity that intervenes. It can be the church. Because the church now, church growth, emergent church, is how do you feel, what do you think? Psychology, Marx, merged together as one, for the saving of souls, for the kingdom of God. Well, look at those who say, Lord, Lord, look at all the wonderful things we've done in your name. He calls them workers of iniquity. And he says, I didn't know you. How does God know you? How does the Lord know you? Do you know the Father? See, he comes to redeem and reconcile you to the Father. See, but if you reject the Father in the chastening, he doesn't know you. And that's what the church is doing. The moment you're in a Bible study, you're going, well, I feel and I think, you've rejected the Father. And if you defend that, well, you just manifested your contempt for a pure and holy and righteous God who knows everything about you, the number of hairs on your head, everything about you. And you need to open up his word, and there it is. Obey him, and him alone. Then he continues, this is Warren Bennis, in order to effect rapid change, one must mount a vigorous attack on the family, lest the traditions of present generations be preserved. It is necessary, in other words, artificially create. Now you have to, these call themselves naturalists, and they all write. Even Bloom says, the theory behind it was unproven at the time, may well be unprovable. That was of his taxonomies. And human relations and curriculum change says the facilitated meeting doesn't come naturally. And then here's Warren Bennis saying, in other words, let's see, he says, I'm trying to find where I was. But he says this doesn't come naturally. Okay, he says, it is necessary, in other words, artificially create an experiential chasm. You have to create it. This experiential chasm between parents and children. That was the classroom. And the moment the teacher moved from up front inculcating facts to the teacher-student partnership, that was an experiential chasm. Now the children are experiencing a total kindergarten. Was all about removing the father's authority from that child's experience. Now their experience was commonality with all the other children, all their feelings and thoughts. And getting along, and we'd all say, oh, that's sweet, isn't that wonderful? Not knowing that we're being suckered. Suckered into a dialectic mindset, a godless mindset. You can even do this in a church. It's still godless. You can quote scripture, but you're not. You're only cutting and pasting and rearranging the verses that would support your desired outcome. So they create an experiential chasm between parents and children to insulate the children in order that they can be more easily and be indoctrinated with new ideas. If one wishes to mold children in order to achieve some future goal, you must begin to view them as superior. So you start with the children first. You start and you do this. Anytime you're in a meeting, somebody asks you how you feel, what do you think, you're starting with the child. And then anybody who comes in with a father, you cannot, must not, thou shalt not, the group will turn on. Then he says, one must teach them not to respect the tradition-bound elders who are tied to the past and know only what is irrelevant. See, Jesus came to show us the Father. See, none of us understood our fathers. When he told you couldn't do something, in your own mind, your own perception, there was nothing wrong with it. When the Father told you that you couldn't do it, you didn't understand him. Well, Jesus was equal with the Father, and he humbled himself, took on the form of man, but he showed us a perfect son to a father, obedient child to the Father, to show us also the Father's love. He loves his children, even though he chastened. God didn't destroy his son, he chastened him. And so God will not destroy you, he chastened you. If you reject the chastening, you will be destroyed. But God loves you. God created you. He created the whole world that you would look at it and say, what a wonderful creator. But because of sin, now we have death. And it should make us aware of, you know, the consequence. Our days are numbered. And God, you know, I tell people, you jump out of a plane 20,000 feet, you have your opinion of gravity all you want. Eventually hit an object. Doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. Your opinion doesn't count. Well, every breath you take is a gift from God. You can say, well, I don't believe that. Fine. God will give you 120 years to take those breaths. Not too many people live that long, but he gives you a long time. And every breath you take is a gift from Him. Every breath you've ever taken, every breath you will take is from Him. You can't take it without it from Him, period. No other source gave you that breath. But when you take that last breath, if you haven't recognized Him and glorified Him, you're meeting an object. And where you spend eternity will really be based upon whether you accept Him as your Father and His Son as your Savior and the Holy Spirit as the one who gives you understanding, or whether you've just decided to lean to your own understanding and follow human nature and worship and bow at the altars of psychology and sociology, which is man, and all the things of the creation. Loving the creation more than the Creator. Loving pleasures more than loving God. Well, continue. Warren Bennis says, any intervention between parent and child tend to produce familial democracy regardless of its intent. That's what I want you to understand. And that's what's going on today in all facets of our society, in all institutions. The consequence of family democratization take a long time to make themselves felt. It's like a ship on the ocean. It takes a long time to turn the thing when it's big. But it would be difficult to reverse the process once begun. Once you open Pandora's box, and Bloom refers to Pandora's box in his taxonomy, the second one, the effective domain, says in retrospect, we've opened Pandora's box. It's a box full of evils. He knows that. He knew that. We're going to allow your child's oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda come out in that classroom. And once you open that box, you can't close it. So that's what this is all about, is the delivering of man from God's authority. Instead of coming in and telling Americans not to believe in God, this was all about putting the women at the dopamine, the eros, at the gate of Israel. Remember, the children of Israel came out of the wilderness, were heading to the promised land, and there were all these women. In fact, Jerome Bruner and others write about, you got to put women in the workplace. See, because in the old workplace, the men were there, and it's do this, don't do that, top-down patriarchal system came home. You put the women in there, it's dialogue. Well, how do you feel? What do you think? You neuter the men. And the husbands come home because they've experienced that at work. They will practice it at home. It's user-friendly. And then, they can't wait to go to work because there's that dopamine-stimulating woman there at the workplace. That's what it's all about. It's to produce immorality in the man. Not that we have to have any help at doing it, but that's what it's all about. Promotion of eros. You can call it agape all you want. It's not agape. It's eros. Technological advancement is a primary goal of those nations who are attempting to manipulate family relationship. Now he's justifying it. This was from a book, The Temporary Society, back in the 50s, award-winning book for business. But what's he talking about? He's talking about families. All these guys eventually get down to the family. Maslow and management talks about the family. Because they want happy little workers, and the only way you can develop them is get to these kids before the father contaminates them with all his morals and right and wrong thinking. So he goes in the workplace and owns a business and tells people, this is my job, my business, and not yours. You do it my way and don't do it yours. See, and then repress and oppress society. Got to get them early. Nip them at the butt. Deliver them from the father's authority. That's what Satan was doing in the garden. Same paradigm. Again, I hope you understand that. Then he said, once the parent can in any way imagine his own orientation, his top-down way of dealing with his children, chasing them when they're wrong, to be a possible liability to the child in the world approaching, the authoritarian family is moribund. Once you as a parent begin to question your right to give commands to your children and expect them to obey them under God, and, children obey your parents in the Lord. So there's a clause there. They can, your child can say, Dad, I can't do that because God said not to do it. But when the dad says take the garbage out, you take it out. If there's wolves out there, then, there's a reason in all this. But it's just simply, you obey your parents. But once the parent began to question his own office, You parents out there, you know, Dorno said we have to use social environmental forces. Social, society, your the community. There's no such word, by the way, in the Bible. It's neighborhood. Community is an enigma. But what use social environmental forces to change a parent's behavior towards their children. This is all what it's about. Man, I can't spank my child. If I whip my child, they'll come and take my child. Well, you know, you have to choose between their soul. Because if you decide, okay, we're not going to chase him, God says if you refuse chastisement, you're a bastard. Those aren't your children anymore. The collective is deciding how your child is to think and what they're, you know, what they're to do. And so instead of having your Heavenly Father's brain in you, now you've got the village brain in you. That's the difference between the conscience and the superego. You always study the superego in psychology. That's the voice of the village. The fear man. You know, well, what will those neighbors think? You know, well, neighbors aren't going to be standing and judging you on the day of judgment. It's God. Besides, they may be next in line. God's going to deal with them. Same thing. Because they let man control them instead of God. They feared man more than God. And so he says, okay, the possible liability of the child in the world approaching the authoritarian family is more but regardless of whatever countermeasures may be taken. So if you get the parents simply to start to question their authority in the home, and you're going to, the father has no respect out there, no structure of support whatsoever. Civil disobedience with the black family was all about destruction of the father's authority. Look what's happened to the black family. Now, there are some fathers out there that are, you know, keeping that authority structure. Kids go to work, don't get into social necessity, you know, where you're dependent on government. Go out and work. I meet them, godly men. And it's not a race issue. It's a sin issue. And so this whole agenda was, how can you redeem this nation from the fear of God and reattach him to the fear of man, lover of the creation rather than lover of God? Well, I didn't get very far. I was hoping to get through, I had Irving Yalom. I wanted to get through his theory and practice and group psychotherapy, and quite a bit on that, on how it's done in the meetings, but we may cover that in the next program. Well, leave you with this. Again, hopefully you understand how important this verse is, and from Genesis to Revelation, all the Word of God is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and let Him be the one who directs your paths.